Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about cohesion in the Israeli society. To say the least, the situation is not that great. We'd like to try and understand how can we make our life better. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, social cohesion here in Israel and around the world in general is something that many countries are dealing with. Recently, a study was done, the results of which were not surprising. Israel, out of 34 countries that took part in this study for 25 years, it's a very broad study that examined many aspects, made it to the 28th place, meaning that social cohesion in Israel is terrible, really, at the very bottom. Now, what did they examine? Social connections, how fast and stable are they in society? Furthermore, not only social connections, but the positive feelings that a community shares, that a society shares. And the third thing was some good future that everyone's focusing on together. These are the three criteria that actually led to this result. The main reasons for which Israel came in almost last is one, the inability to accept the other. Two, distrust in social and governmental institutions. And number three, the feeling of inequity, meaning the ordinary Israeli all the time feels that someone somewhere is trying to take something from him, to harm him in short. Yeah, to use him and so on. Not to really be fair toward him. And this is something that many countries are dealing with, by the way, also, not only in Europe, in Canada. There is a committee that's been taking care of this for the past 30 years on part of the government. They think that this is very important. Also in England and France, in many places, there are committees on part of the government that are dealing with integration and social coherence. And so maybe we'll start with a question. Turns out that this is a really important subject that many countries are really occupied with in recent years. And I'd like to hear, what do you think about social cohesion in the Israeli society? How do you see it from your perspective? I travel to many countries. And I never saw such rejection, remoteness, sometimes up to the point of hatred within nations. Between nations that live in the same country, in the same area, I suppose, yes, but not within the same nation. The French, they understand each other, the Italians understand each other, and there's barely any kind of friction between them. Sometimes, like in every country, you have the southern and the northern, that's clear. But that there's real friction within the same population amongst them, no. Here, you can take neighboring streets, houses, areas, among the Ashkenazians, the Sephardics, doesn't matter who and how, we always have disputes, so much so that we say that a person's disputed with himself. Like a Jew says, these are my two synagogues, this one I go to, this one I don't. Meaning we have a problem with ourselves, we don't understand our identity. Suppose in Canada. I know Canada well. I really traveled back and forth a few times. My entire family's there. What can I say? You have the Ukrainians there, which are the agricultural part of Canada. They're the Indians that I really got to know, real Indians. It's a very special, unique way of living. They're the Hindus, Pakistanis. Besides the English and the French and the Jews. And so really, All in all, you have a problem there. How to build one nation out of all of them. This I understand. But there's nothing like in Israel where the same nation, and that really suffered so much, oppression, being oppressed by other nations, after all of this, to somehow live a normal life with themselves, together. You can't even say together. Even without hatred, without wanting to prick each other, to harm each other, we have a desire to harm ourselves. And this is really a very big problem. And I don't see how do we get out of this. From day to day, it seems to me that it's only going growing. Where does this feeling of hatred towards ourselves come from? We hate ourselves, yes. Hate ourselves, so much so. The source for it is our nature. That we really absorb within ourselves the evil inclination from all nations. We, the people of Israel, are the essence of all nations. Among us, there are representatives of all nations. This comes from Abraham, from ancient Babylon, that from all the small nations that existed back then in ancient Babylon, later on they'll become the civilization as we know it that spread over the entire planet. But then these were small nations, and Abraham, he invited all those that want to get to know the upper force, to connect. He invited them to come to him and came to him, those representatives, those people that felt that it's something good, that it answers their need, and they came to him, and therefore we're a collection of all nations. And therefore, the ego between us is really working and boiling all the time, and until we correct ourselves, we will not experience tranquility or a good life. And also, the rest of the world, because we're representatives of the entire world, this is who the people of Israel is. So if we correct ourselves, automatically the rest of the world calms down. This is something that we have to understand. This is what the Wisdom of Kabbalah says. And therefore, tranquility, connection, good relations, the good future of the entire world depends on the people of Israel, and therefore the world is constantly accusing us. So you're not surprised from the results of this study that says that cohesion in the Israeli society is very poor. We don't understand what happened in the times of the temple. That Jews killed each other, not the Romans, not the Greeks. The Jews did this work. They destroyed each other and destroyed the temple. Not Titus or anyone else. They themselves, with their own hands, out of their own hatred. Meaning the reason for which you're telling me about this in relation to this study, do you see a connection between these things? Of course, this hatred didn't go away. Today it quenched a bit. Back then, we couldn't live together here, and therefore we were banished. Today we can somehow bear each other. And also, anyone would be happy to run away from this place. Once there is an opportunity in terms of time and money, everyone runs away to different places. The main thing is not to be here in Israel. So you're describing a very interesting situation where the root for this hatred started many years ago in ancient Babylon, and then it reached the times of the Second Temple that was destroyed. Meaning this is where a tremendous hatred between the Jews ignited. And probably throughout the 2,000 years of exile, when the people of Israel were in exile, then the desire to survive somehow kept them, maybe to some extent. Among them, there were great disputes. The recent one is the one between the Ashkenazians in Western Russia between the Lithuanians and the Hasids. There was hatred all the time. I'm not even mentioning everyone's hatred towards Kabbalists. Kabbalists simply used to go into some corner, keep quiet, and even hide themselves so no one will know that they're Kabbalists. So you're saying that the separation, the hate among the Jewish people, it's not something new. It always existed. This is their nature. And today, seemingly after so many years that we came back to Israel and we're supposed to rebuild ourselves to build a coherent society, hatred breaks out. About 100 years ago, more or less, Bala Sulam talked to David Ben-Gurion, but no one listened to him, that one way or another, you have to teach the people, educate them as much as possible in this respect. They took in immigrants from all over the world, but they didn't take care of social cohesion, of connection within the nation. To the contrary, the things that were done were the kind of things that Marxists think are good. So actually what you're saying is that, first of all, our situation is not like the situation or the state of any other nation. It's different, and it has a reason. Yes. And even if someone from the outside looks at us saying, what do you hate each other for so much? Yeah, like this clip we saw. Yeah, there was this clip where this Arab woman that speaks really to the point. Yeah, she says, you taught me that you were destroyed due to unfounded hatred. You waited to come here for 2,000 years, and you came here, and what are you doing? You hate each other. And I'd like to add one more very interesting parameter from that study. Despite the very poor results we got on social cohesion, there was one category around which we're still united, and it is our social identity. Meaning that when this parameter was examined among the Israelis, then despite the gaps and the rift and the inability to accept the other and so on, still, there is a kind of feeling that when we talk about social identity, there we rank high. Meaning, there is this inner hidden feeling, but probably it's so hidden that the separation, it doesn't stand in the way of separation. This is interesting, because I read the study and I said, okay, I don't understand this. In this respect, we're a special nation. We're kept from above. We're being kept from above. That we really feel that we belong to the people of Israel. But this is regarding the people of Israel. But this is something that does not regard a Jew among Jews. These are two different things, completely different. Because Israel, this pertains to some higher idea, upper idea. Israel comes from the Hebrew words yashar kel, meaning being inclined toward the upper force, meaning that we're somehow related to the upper force through which we bestow, and that He, through us, influences the entire world. This is something that pertains to Israel. And therefore, as you say, we ranked high in that respect. But regarding the Jews in the field, the common Jews, we have no connection and even rejection. This is how we are on two levels. In other nations, both are on the same level. Right? And therefore, in this study, it was something really conspicuous. It was really strange that Israel got above average in this category of national identity, meaning on the one hand, as you say, there are the Jews that hate each other, but there is this kind of national love, or how to call it. It's the concept of Israel. The concept itself, we still have a kind of, it's eternal, it's high, it ties me with the upper force. I feel eternity and perfection in it. This is something that I'm not willing to separate with. And the two don't collide? No. How? I don't feel that these two things are related. No one explained this. This is something that we have to work at, specifically this, for both of these concepts to connect in us as one. And then we'll correct ourselves and the entire world by this. The problem is that we don't wanna. It's convenient for us to hate each other, and we actually feel a kind of pride in it. That this way, I really position myself correctly towards everyone, only toward Israel. This is something that I'd like to ask about. You said that we have to tie both of these concepts together and that this is the key for a better life here in Israel. What are these two concepts and what kind of connection should there be between them? Man, the Israeli, or more correctly put, Jewish person. How's he Israeli? He's Jewish. Has to understand that if he ties himself to everyone, only on condition that he ties himself with everyone, with all other Jews, for them to be as one group, as one people, only this way and only can they be connected with the concept of Israel. Because Israel, it comes from the words Yashar, Kel, meaning being aimed straight at the upper force. And then they can really, as it says, return, O people of Israel, to the Creator. They can attain the upper force. They can influence Him. He can influence us. But this is on condition that they'll be united. Therefore it says, from love of the created beings to love of the Creator. That by this we can influence the entire nature, everything, and therefore there is such a big distance and difference between identifying with being a Jew and being an Israeli. To be connected with others as a nation or in the concept of Israel, which is something eternal. The nation, God forbid, it can once again disperse in all directions. Israel, it's felt that it's something that can't disappear. It's something that has an international existence, a divine existence. It's a part of nature. It exists in nature. It didn't disappear for thousands of years, and this is how it's going to stay. And this inner feeling exists in a person, and he doesn't want to lose it. True, it's something that people keep. This is what you keep. The nation can be dispersed in all directions. You can eradicate half of it. But Israel is something that remains. Now, you really explained beautifully these two. I didn't know that it's something that's being studied. Yeah, and it's amazing because it really shows very clearly what you just described. These two as if seemingly two different elements that exist in us, and there's even a kind of a conflict between them because despite the love, we can't get along and we even hate each other. Now, this is really interesting because when I read some more about what's being done in other countries in order to create some kind of a social cohesion, then there are different ideas. They try to create some kind of a mutual vision, collective vision. They're trying to find the things that connect them instead of those that separate them. They're trying to encourage voluntary work in the community. Will never work in Israel. This is what I wanted to ask about. This is also something they tried out in Israel. No, at least not from what I know. It won't work. Not even a bit. Not at all. Nothing. Meaning that the way to deal with social cohesion, in other places in the world, you can have different models and methods, but of course, I think that our government, it also it invests in different sorts and kinds of connections and events. There are attempts, but it doesn't work. doesn't work. Nothing really creates the adhesive within the Israeli society. So trying to learn from models that are being tried out in other places in the world won't work here in Israel. No. And this leaves us with a question of what kind of model will work for us. None. Okay, so if we want to take a small step towards social cohesion here in Israel, what do we do? There has to be some kind of a system that explains these things, a campaign that explains these things. That should be prepared in a very correct manner, meticulously, in order to explain to people that we here are connected with the upper force of nature. I don't think that anything less will work. Really so, yeah. That there is a hard hand upon us from above, that we have to carry out the higher command. And therefore, through our connection, we have to create a path, a conduit for the upper force to bestow upon the entire world. We that are Israel, from the words Yashar Kel, it means to be the conduit, the transition from the upper force to everyone else. This is our mission. It's our responsibility. We have to actualize it. We have to build it, sustain it, make it happen, allow it to happen, that the upper force, the upper light, the upper abundance through us will come to the rest of the world, something that the nations of the world are truly expecting specifically, precisely from us. Why? Because we see that they blame us for all of their troubles, subconsciously or consciously. There's not a single person in the world that on the inside does not feel that there is something about the Jews that are ruining his life, to some extent. Maybe he's not connected with us in any system. Still, this feeling exists. It's like South Korea and there are other such countries that they themselves, in the past, they had no anti-Semitism. Now that they grew a bit more in the past 100 years, they feel that they hate Jews. Why? We hate them. Meaning, it needs no justification. And we have to explain it to the people, to the nation, in a very direct and forward way, with the upper force and with the rest of the nations and about us and everything else, to see that this is how it works. You have no other choice. It's impossible to explain it in a maybe clear scientific way, but we see that this is how it is, that the hatred toward us is such that is supernatural. It's a supernatural phenomenon. So you have to explain what's going on in a supernatural way. Most of the people in Israel are secular. It doesn't matter. I'm not turning to the religious audience at all. I'm not talking about them. They have a new, different Torah. No, because you said something about the upper force. The upper force belongs to the religious. I didn't know about it. Pardon me. The upper force belongs to everyone, to those that believe that the upper force exists. It doesn't matter if a person believes or doesn't. It belongs to everyone. I can disregard the government, but the government regards me and demands things of me. Same thing here. What do you mean? It's up to a person whether he's under the influence of nature or not. The upper force is nature. So, am I a part of this system? Am I in it? Of course I am. We just have to explain this, and we have to explain it with facts from this world, that we see anti-Semitism as a supernatural phenomenon, and therefore you have to give a supernatural explanation on the same level regarding why does it exist. So there are two phenomena here. On the one hand, the hatred of others toward Israel, and on the other hand, the hatred within Israel. I want to ask a maybe concluding question. We started talking about social cohesion within the Israeli society. Then we somehow found ourselves talking about the upper force, that we also have to understand what exactly is that. And you concluded with talking about the attitude of the world toward Israel. If the people of Israel will treat each other correctly, in a good and nice way, in connection, at least somewhat, let's start this mutual movement toward each other, then through us, this attitude of good from the upper force will pass on to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world will also start connecting. And then, when they'll start connecting, they'll subconsciously feel that it's coming from us. And in that, they'll change their attitude toward us, toward Israel. And anti-Semitism will disappear. And we'll feel it both from them, and also because then we'll truly become the transition, the conduit of the upper abundance into the world. This means to be light onto the nations. And this is something that we won't be able to escape. It's our duty. Dr. Lightman, when the upper abundance will flow through the people of Israel to the entire world, what kind of world is it going to be? We're talking about our world, that every person in the world will feel that there is an upper force that's connected to him, and that he is connected with that upper force, and that this connection comes through the people of Israel. And what kind of abundance will that bring into the world? It's an abstract abundance. It will dress and appear in different forms. In short, the good and benevolent, this is what will become revealed in the world. So what follows is that Israeli social cohesion isn't only an inner Israeli matter, but it has global implications. Yes. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.